Now let us turn in the Word of God to Judges chapter 7. Judges 7. And we'll commence our reading from the beginning. Judges 7 and verse 1. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them, by the hill of Moreh, in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, Mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, Whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, This shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, This shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, Everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, By the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. And let all the other people go every man unto his place. So the people took victuals in their hand, and their trumpets. And he sent all the rest of Israel, every man, unto his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down into the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Phurah, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream, and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into 3 companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, Look on me, and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that, as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had put but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the 3 companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fell to Bethshitta in Zarephath, and to the border of Abel Meholah, unto Tabath. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of all Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. Amen. We'll end the reading there and trust that the Lord will bless His word to us. Well, friends, we come now to this portion of God's Word in Judges and chapter 7. And we have been looking and studying the lives of the judges in the Word of God. And for some time, we have been studying the life of this great man of God, Gideon. And as you have looked at his life, you have seen, I trust, something of yourself in him. That he's very much like us. He has his ups and downs. He has times of strong faith and there are times of weakness in his faith. There are times that he questions the wisdom of God and the counsels of God. And yet there are times that wholeheartedly he believes it and acts upon it. At the beginning, when the Lord found him, he was full of fear in his heart, hiding from the enemies of God and the enemies of his people. And now we find him with this army. And the Lord has been working. The Lord has been leading and training his servant. And that's one of the things he does. The Christian, if we are true children of God, this is what God does in us. He causes us to grow and this is what we ought to desire in all of our lives, that we want to grow. We want to be in this training camp of the Lord. Now we come to this portion, this wonderful portion in Judges 7. And here we see God's plan. And here we see God's best plan. How God gives Gideon the best of plans. It's not something that Gideon expected, not something that you expected. The first time that you read the Judges, how was it? If you were brought up in the church, you might have, before reading it, you heard a sermon on it, on this portion, maybe in Sunday school or something like that. But I remember the first time reading through the Judges, at the beginning, you never expect what's going to happen. You think this is what's going to happen. All these people in this army, and they are going to win the battle. And then you begin to see how God is sifting and how God is reducing numbers. And you wonder, well, how is it going to happen? Well, what did Gideon think? If you were to read James and what James has to say in James chapter 4 and verses 13 to 17, I'll just read James chapter 4, verse 13 to 17, it is instructive. We read this, "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." And in those verses in James chapter 4, James counsels men against the foolishness of making plans without consideration of the will of God in the matter. And there are many people, and we go through life, and we might make decisions without thinking, what is God's will in this situation? I know what is my will in this situation. Many times, there are times I don't know what is the right way. But what is God's will? And James is saying that you and I can make any plans we wish to make, but God always has the final say in the matter. God's will be done. And His will is the thing that we must desire. Then when we learn His plans for the situation and we make our plans based on His plans, we find out that He had all along the best of plans. And we thank God for it. We thank God that the thing that we thought was the right thing didn't come to pass, and that the Lord brought us to see what is His will. We like to make plans. We want things to go the way we think they should go. But we must ever be after God's plan and will, because that is always the best plan. It may not seem to be so at the time, and often it is the case, but it will be seen at last that His plan is always the best. It always brings Him glory. It always does us good. You think about when Peter and the others had fished all the night without catching a fish. And the Lord Jesus Christ told them to go out into the deep waters. And then they would catch fish and to cast the net. It's recorded in Luke 5. Peter's plan was to forget fishing for that day and to go home. But when he obeyed the Lord, he found out that God had the best of plans. When Christ told his disciples that he was going to die, and Peter came and rebuked the Lord, it's recorded in Matthew 16. Peter thought that he knew best, that maybe the Lord is making a mistake here. He's misjudging the situation. But when the Lord Jesus Christ actually went to the cross and paid the price of our sins, Peter found out and he wrote about it, the best of plans. He spoke about the precious blood of Christ. And he comforted the disciples in his epistles and certainly in his preachings that the Lord's will was the best. And then you think about Goliath. Goliath saw David coming to meet him for battle, and Goliath's plan, as he laughed and as he mocked, his plan was to kill David and to teach a lesson to the armies of Israel and to feed his carcasses to the scavengers in the field. It's recorded in 2 Samuel 17. But when that stone sank deep into his head and he fell down to the earth, he found out that God's plan was the most effective one. And it produced result. It worked out differently to his plan. When Israel sent out the spies, they found the same thing. That when they went into Canaan and saw the giants that lived there in Numbers 13 and 14, they made plans to find themselves a new leader to go back to Egypt. But over the next 40 years, as they died one by one in the wilderness as God's judgment upon their unbelief, they learned that God's plan was going to be fulfilled. Now I could go on and to give you example after example from the pages of God's Word, but this truth is fleshed out so well in this passage before us in Judges 7. When Gideon and his army went into battle, they must have had a plan. But before the battle was happened, and before they actually gained the victory that they hoped to, they found out that actually God's plan was the best. And this is what we want to think about. Gideon's and God's plan. Gideon's plan and God's best plan. And God always has the best of plans. His will is perfect. He can never go wrong. And as we think about this, we ought to learn these lessons and apply to our own lives. God's plan may not be the easiest plan. It may not be the most popular plan. It may not even seem like the most clever plan. But God always has the best plan. And that's what we see. And the main thing I want us to think about this evening is the realities of God's plan. The realities of God's plan. And in we read in verses 1 to 7 about the fact that God's plan is a different plan from ours altogether. It speaks about, here uses the name of Gideon, another name of Gideon, Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him. They rose up early, they pitched beside the well of Herod, and so on. It explains the state of their army, the number of the army, and so on. Gideon planned to march into battle with 32,000 soldiers. That was his plan. This is what he thought. If we have as many people as possible, then we have better chance of winning. And then at the end he learned that God had a different plan. God, in the context here, whittled down the army of Gideon to nearly 300. And there is a great lesson for us to be learned here. When we are making plans for our lives, we always try to gather everything in our favor. Here was Gideon gathering as much numbers as possible, because this is what people think. We think that the strength of numbers is what we need. But the teaching of the Word of God is the Lord that we need. His strength, His power, His wisdom, His presence is what we need. And the Lord Jesus Christ said so many times, He comforted the disciples, He rebuked the disciples on these very matters. And He said to them, without me ye can do nothing. I am the vine, He said. Ye are the branches. And He spoke of what He gives, that He is manna from heaven, and He is the water of life, and He is the life and truth and the way. What is He saying? We need Him. We need Him. If we have Him, we have everything we need. If we have His smile upon us, then we should be content. But that's human nature, that want to have as much on our side. However, God has often a different plan for your life and what He will do in our lives. David was just a shepherd boy, but God had a different plan for him. Job was a wealthy man who, yes, wanted to worship God, love his family, to enjoy his wealth. But God had a different plan. Joseph and Mary were a young couple who wanted to be married and raise a family, but God had a different plan. Saul of Tarsus, what was his desire? He wanted to destroy the church of Jesus Christ, but God had a different plan. So from these things, we learn that the test of a truly consecrated life is that it is willing to submit to the plan of God. And even when His plan contradicts our plan, and that is an important lesson, one of the most important lessons in our Christian walk to learn. But then something else that we notice. So God's plan is on many occasions very different to our plan. His mind is far from our mind. His thoughts are different to our thoughts. But then from verses 9 to 14, and we are only skimming the surface here, we see that God's plan is a revealed plan. It's a revealed plan. God speaks about what is His will. And it came to pass in verse 9, the same night that the Lord said unto him. So the plan was to march in the morning early and to seek to see what they can do to destroy the armies of the enemies. But the Lord spoke and said in that night, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say. And we have the account of yes, they go down, they see the great numbers. So here is Gideon. He has seen his own 32,000 men, and he has seen them reduced to just 300 men. And what would be filling his heart? If you were in his situation, what would you do? What a risk he's taking. What a thing he's doing. He's going into the very hands of all these enemies. And how many are these people? It says in verse 12, and the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. So they were just going into the hands of all these thousands and thousands of people. This is foolishness in the eyes of men. And then it says, and their camels, without number, they are like the sand of the sea for multitude. And here is the revelation of God. Go and listen. Go and see. Go and see what I have revealed. And it will comfort your heart. Go and see. I have delivered it into thine hand, he says. And so God instructs. Friends, God is not asking for a leap in the dark. He is asking for a clear step of faith. And there is a difference there. Clear step of faith. Faith based upon His Word. Faith based upon His promises. He's not saying just jump. But there's a basis for what He says. Of His own nature, of who He is. God knew Gideon's fears and God knew his concerns. So there He gives His encouragement. There He reveals His will to him. And that comforts the saints. And you hear what he heard of the enemies talking in verses 13 and 14. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow. So he began to listen about this dream that he had. And it's amazing. He came right at the right time. And he came to the right group of people who were talking. Imagine if he went somewhere else. Imagine if it was too late. He didn't get there in time to hear about this. But this is what he heard. Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it, that it fell and overturned it, that the tent lay along. So he says, I saw this cake of barley just tumbling down, and then coming and destroying things. Imagine then him hearing this. What is the meaning of this? And then the amazing thing for us is that the other man answers and gives the right interpretation. He understands what he's talking about. God is revealing, you see. And imagine they said something else. But God said, go in and see and hear for yourself. And take your witness with you. Take your servant with you. So you're not just imagining these things. And so he says, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. So here is the confirmation. Here is God revealing his plan. And friends, from these things we must note that when it comes to you and me, The Lord expects us to walk in obedience to His will. But He never asks for a blind leap in the dark. He always asks His children to respond to His plan by them taking a clear step of faith based upon His revealed will. And God uses many means to speak to His children. Even to this day, He speaks specifically through His Word. We want the Holy Spirit speaking to us. Well, here is the revelation of the Holy Spirit in His Word. So we must fill our minds and hearts with the truths of the Word of God and the principles that it teaches, instructions that it teaches. Weigh these things, weigh the things that we are seeking to do with the Word of God. And it is the Spirit of God, as we do these things, convicts our heart. And He applies it to our particular situation. Paul speaks about this faith that we need to step out in faith. It comes through the hearing of the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Both in terms of salvation, to know the Lord, but also the life of the Christian. You think about the words in Acts 13 and verse 2, where we read, "And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." So, again, the Spirit guides these people. How? As they have been fasting, as they have been praying, as they have been waiting upon God, the Spirit speaks in this situation. And how does the Spirit speak in our situation? By guiding us by His Word. In Acts 16 and verses 6 to 8, we read, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas." And all of these things telling us that the Spirit of God does lead. Does stop us. Does open certain ways. And it says to us, here is the way, walk ye in it. But all along, He's applying the truth. So you might hear a sermon. You might hear one of God's servants speaking to you personally. Or you read something and you realize, no, the Word of God is saying, no, this is not the right way. Wait. He also speaks through mature believers. And He speaks through the church. He speaks through those who are put in positions of leadership and eldership in the church. We read, for example, in Acts chapter 9, that these words in verse 17 and 18, "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hand on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized." Here is an example. God sent this man. God guided him and then instructed Paul in what he ought to do and what he should be thinking about God's will. Again, we have the words of Proverbs, a number of times it's repeated in Proverbs, words such as this in Proverbs 11 and verse 14, "Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety." And then we could think about circumstances too, but that comes right at the end of the Lord is speaking in our circumstances, in our life, and showing us clearly this is a closed door, or this is an open door. But it all backs up by other things first. And then the Lord answers in His own time. The Lord answers in His own time. And that's why we need to seek Him. That's why we need to pray to Him. Wait on Him. But the bottom line is this. God will always direct your feet plainly. He will not leave you in doubt. His plan is a revealed, it is a declared plan. Don't be quick in making your decisions. Wait on Him. If Gideon did not listen to the Lord. He would have just gone headlong with his armies into the hand of all these people without knowing the guidance of God. And the Lord guided him. And it is a mercy when that happens. So wait until a clear answer comes. If you're in doubt about some important matter, some serious issue of life, that if you take a wrong step, it is going to affect so many things in your life, you ought to take time. And it is in those situations that the world would say to you, and your heart would say to you, and maybe some other people would say, you must make a quick decision about this matter. And here it is that the Lord guided him. It's very applicable for us because we face these things, all of us, in some situation in our lives. But we should wait and seek the Lord and live by faith until he makes it clear. Knowing his plan requires prayer. Knowing his plan requires holiness. It requires patience. But be sure, be comforted that in his time he will reveal his will. When he does, you will see that it is a different plan. You will see that it is according to his word, and that God doesn't go against his own word. And it's because it is the best plan. And the surest path to know his plan is to practice what the apostle says in verses 1 and 2 of Romans 12. Anything that hinders you from this means that it is not God's plan. So the apostle says in Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So anything that goes against that, you being able to serve him and to offer to him all that you have in service to God and in praise to God. And then he says, and be not conformed to this world. So if there is anything that's causing you to stumble, causing you to be distracted, causing you to be conformed to this world and to give in and compromise, then it is not God's plan. And he says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so the Lord revealed to Gideon and comforted him through this revelation. His plan is revealed. And here it was revealed through this dream that came to this man. And they began to talk about it. God said to him, go and listen. Go and see what I will show you. And the Lord showed him. And then verse 15 onwards, we see this. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian, and so on. And what we find in the following verses is that God's plan is quite a specific. It's a specific plan. And you think about the context. So God's men were to surround the enemy, the 300 against the thousands. They were to sound their trumpets. They were to shout for the battle. They were to break those clay pitchers containing an oil lamp. And God said that this would give them the victory. And it did. But there were some specific things that they were to follow. There were some distinct things within this plan that they were to follow. No man would ever have come up with a plan like that. You couldn't have thought it. You couldn't have devised it. Had Gideon and his men not been willing to follow God's plan, they would have missed out. They would have not received God's best in their lives. So it is with the plans of God. There are times when the Lord will lead you in directions you never imagined. You never would have thought of it. He can come up with plans for our lives that are very distinct. Yet when we go his way, we find out that he always has the best of plans. And so he might say to you, and you might wonder, well, why has, as he said in the Bible, this is how we ought to live, and this is what we should do, and This is how I must practice these things. Even though I see everything else, I must make a decision now, or I just can't see any way forward in my life. And yet the Lord says, do not neglect the very basic things that I've been telling you. Do not neglect the assembling of yourselves together. Do not neglect your reading of the scriptures. Do not neglect prayer. Do not neglect serving me and be a blessing to others. And so many other things. Do not neglect these things. And yet you might say, but I need to do certain things. Well, in the midst of you doing those things and waiting on the Lord and seeking God's will and reading the scriptures and hearing it and meditating upon these things, God opens doors. God reveals things to you. God will show you. And it is an amazing thing. How many times have you proved these things in your life? How many times have you seen God doing things at the beginning? You didn't know how it was going to happen. And yet God has done it. So this is reality. This is something that we do experience. But oh, to have a heart that would seek the Lord. Oh, to have a heart that would want to have the Lord Jesus Christ walking with us day by day. And for us to walk after Him. His word, follow me, is the thing that He says to us every day. Every morning we wake up, we think, whatever the day may bring forth, one thing is true. The Lord Jesus Christ calls me to follow Him. Another thing is true, is that He will be with me always. And He will provide for me. So may these things be a comfort to you. And as you follow the Lord, and as you take instruction from a man like Gideon, and the impossible things that were before him, we shall also see the power of God in our lives. Amen. May God